But yeah, so, and I, so do you think this is a cautionary tale for women?
I think it is, because you should not take for granted, you know, because all people, you know, so many of them look all their lives for somebody who truly loves them.
Right.
And she had that in Mr. Skeffington.
Whole time.
And he was
so indulgent.
Her. Yes, he adored her. I totally agree.
To his peril, putting people on pedestals.
And so for her to just like not value that or treasure
that. He was invisible
that,
to her.
Yes.
He was her ATM machine, and that's it. And they did have a child.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you know, the thing that, that really amazed me about Mr. Skeffington and that you're going to be watching for in this movie is that you get a little bit of a glimpse or an insight of his background, and he's very different from what her family was
because he
didn't start out wealthy.
No, he wasn't a blue blood.
And and the thing is he has this intrinsic gentility or nobility, and he was it tells you money does not denote class, because this man did not start out, but yet there's something about him.
He had more class in his little finger than those blue bloods.
And he plays the part with such restraint, to me anyway.
He does.
Betty Davis can have such intensity even when she's holding, I mean, but he plays this part so beautifully. And I have to tell you that by the end of this movie, I wanted to marry Mr. Skeffington.
He was the ideal husband.
He was like, she would get jewels. He would just anything.
And he wanted her to love him so badly.
Yes, yes.
And that was to his peril, to his, you know, you shouldn't. But you know, I'm glad you're saying it, because that's a cautionary tale to men as well. It was a cautionary tale about relationships.
Yes, absolutely it is, because you don't realize how good you have it until it's gone.
Yeah.
And this is kind of one of those things that that she especially had to understand before she could really value what she had.
Right.
I just have to say I love the character. I really do. But, you know, I think also Claude Rains himself, from the very little bit that I know about him, was also probably playing totally against his true personality as well, because by some accounts, people described Claude Rains as also, he could be very explosive, but yet he is the most patient, kind person in this role. And he was like taken to being very like, maybe turned inwardly thoughtful, but yet, you know, here he is, he's like very, you know, just generous and magnanimous to everybody.
Right.
And then also the way he, if you see the scenes with his daughter, they are the most, they're very
tender.
Perfect.
Genuine. It's like you're watching. Yes. And that's the thing about the movie, Mr. Skeffington. You are watching a slice of life. It is not a movie. You are watching, you feel like you're watching real people's lives unfold in front of you. And of course, this movie is over, 50 some odd years. But I mean, it's so resonant to today and relationships. And Georgia and I, we really feel women, young women of dating age, you should watch this movie, because now people are, especially women, let's just be honest, we're so vain. We're here with it's the selfie and everybody's a star. And I'm not against that, but you know, it takes a lot to be a star. It's just not about a look.
Yeah.
In a studio system, you had to have, and even though it was false, they created a character, or people put their dreams into, like a star was unattainable, and that's why you were called a star. But now, because of these cell phones or whatever device, everyone's a star, but the quality. And everybody thinks, because now you can glue it, tuck it, suck it, take it out. Now everyone's gorgeous, you know, unless we see y'all botched. But other than that, and everybody thinks this stuff doesn't stink. But if you look at I'm telling you, if a woman sits down and really, and look at it a few times, you will get outside of yourself and maybe you'll find the love that you really want.
Well, you know, it makes you think, like, what value do I have?
Right. Outside, you know,
and like, looks. Besides of my looks, what do I bring to a relationship? What value do I have as a person?
Right.
And, you know, there's times in the movie where Betty Davis, all of a sudden, you know, she looks in the mirror and you realize what's going on in her head
mm-hmm.
at some point in this movie. And you think, it's starting, the wheels are turning.
Right.
She's thinking
right.
about my whole life. What have I been doing? What has it been about?
Mm-hmm.
And then how it's affected her relationships, because the way she sees herself affects not just herself, but it's affected her daughter. It's affected mm-hmm. her husband. And you're going to see all that in the movie. And I don't want to skip too far ahead, and I'm not going to give anything away, but I have to tell you this. This movie will tap into emotions, a deep well of emotions
yes.
inside of you, because
yes.
there is a scene at the end, and I was almost beside myself. It was truly one of, I think, the greatest scenes I've ever seen. Mm-hmm.
I didn't expect that at all. It smacked you in the face.
Yes, it does.
A gentle smacking, but a smack nonetheless.
But, you know, I didn't expect this to have... I didn't know how this movie was going to end, and that kept me riveted
right,
in my seat
right.
because I thought, how can any of this turn around? But, I mean, time does pass because, you know, it starts in the beginning of the movie. She's very young,
mm-hmm.
and she's like... the coquette here,
right,
you know,
right,
like
right, right.
flirtatious and everything. And then as the end, as time passes, I mean, what happens? And
mm-hmm.
you see how, you know, it's the inevitable march of time.
Right.
And with how it affects her and her husband, Mr. Skeffington. And now one of the things that I thought was, I don't know if they did this on purpose in the movie when they did the Mr. Skeffington character, but his name was Job. And, you know, if you know anything about
I think they did it on purpose.
Long-suffering, you know,
yeah.
man in the Bible.
That was
and
no
I'm
accident.
Thinking, not really. And then Fanny is such like a...
His ass. She was an ass.
Well, I was thinking somebody who was like not very deep, like kind of shallow and kind of like, you know.
Yeah.
I can't think of the words right now, but you know what I mean. But
yeah.
It was like Fanny,
right,
you know.
Right.
But and so I thought, boy, you know, that maybe there was something that had gone into like the.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
And so when you watch, you know, I'm glad that they named this movie Mr. Skeffington, not Mrs. Skeffington, not Fanny.
Yeah, I'm
not,
so glad because you're right. I'm glad you brought that up because. After I looked at it a couple of times, because at first I'm like, why didn't they call it Fanny, like you said, or
yeah.
Fanny Skeffington? But no, the movie was, and he was not in every scene. Betty Davis was definitely the star
yes.
of the show.
Yes.
But Claude Rains, because of the man he was, the actor he was, whatever scene he was in, of course, he killed it. And he and, like Georgia said earlier, the interplay between them. But like I say, we don't want to give too much away, but the weight, the finality, the conclusion, and the responsibility of the course of that relationship ultimately lied within him the whole time. She just didn't realize it, and in the final scenes, like Georgia was saying, you will understand why it was called Mr. Skeffington, because the movie really was, he was the center. You know, it's false to think that Betty Davis was the center of that movie. Scene-wise, yeah, but the heart of it, he was the heart of that movie. So that's
I have
why
to agree with you
it.
On
yeah.
that, because
mm-hmm.
even though, you're right, even though she chewed up the scenery in most
exactly.
of the scenes,
right.
but when you see these two against each other, this is like, cinema at its very finest. You
right.
will not see the
it's
movie
not
cameras,
or whatever.
Not in the slightest.
Yeah.
But it's like some of the greatest performances ever captured on movie cameras.
Right.
It's what you're seeing is like the gold standard.
Mm-hmm.
You will never see a pairing like this.
Right.
And from watching this movie, I want to watch every single time that Betty Davis and Claude Rains are paired. I want to watch them do this every time because
right.
it is.
And we were talking about that. Because
it just blows you away.
They did, I believe, three movies together, Now Voyager and the one I can't remember with Paul Henreid. And so please look at every pairing that they did. It is different. You're not going to get Mr. Skeffington part two. You're not going to get Nile Varger part two. Again, to their kudos, because they don't play back to those characters. They're totally different people. Because some people, they compare them, and it's the same chemistry. It is unbelievable how they can change the chemistry amongst themselves. And Betty Davis adored Claude Rains. Because Betty Davis was a killer. Like, if you couldn't do those scenes with her, especially you were the man, she would tear you apart.
She would.
And run away with the movie. And Claude Rains could, and she didn't mind him being her leading man because he was her equal. I can't think of maybe someone else, but definitely he was her equal. Yeah.
Maybe, well, I don't know, George Brent. I think
she liked him because he didn't try to compete with her. That was her words. Because some of the actors would get with her and try to compete with her. But he couldn't. I mean, he was the pretty boy.
Yeah.
You know.
That's true.
But Claude Rains, and I'm probably missing someone else, they were equals. I can't think of somebody off the top. I would have to really, because she played with just about everybody.
She did. But you know, one of the things that I thought was really incredible about the timeline of this movie was, it almost didn't get made with her. And I found out that she had just, this movie came out in 1944, just before she made this movie. Well, and actually while she was making it, she was deeply in mourning. She was grieving over the very sudden death of her husband, Farnsworth.
Okay.
And she had been married like a total of 4 times, and I think this was husband number 2. Mm-hmm. And he was...
That's the dude who dropped dead.
Yes, that's the one. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was out on some street in Hollywood, and all of a sudden he just keels over. Yep. And so she is suffering from the shock and the grief of losing her husband, and then she's filming this movie, She doesn't, and she says, I don't whine. What I do is I lash out. And so I think during the filming of this movie, you know, she was known as being a perfectionist.
Right.
And so
difficult.
She was known as being difficult. But the thing is the movies are like some of the finest work here.
Right.
And so she would want maybe, I guess, rewrites in the scripts and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So people, you know, she was not the easiest person to direct or to be with, but yet, it was all about, she wanted to bring out the absolute finest in not only the script and the story, but also in her and her fellow actors that she was working with.
Right, and she said, because I've seen a couple of her interviews later on in her life, and she was saying, you know, she got labeled that when she said, well, the script is no good. And me having an alpha female type A, I mean, if you bring me something, and she had a point. She's like, she said, that's my ass on. She said her words, that's my ass on the screen. So if it stinks, they're not going to say, oh, that director, they're going to say, oh, Betty Davis stunk. So she said, yeah, if I saw something and it didn't look right or somebody, she said, yes, I would change it. And she said, and she named some directors and writers who got it right. You know, she knew she was comfortable. She said, but if the director came in, and this is Betty, and I'm paraphrasing, saying they were timid, and they didn't look her in the eye, or they didn't, you know, and take hold and take control and own whatever. She said she knew it. It was going to stink, and she was going to have to, you know, do some things. And so, you know, women get labeled difficult.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I don't know if men do it to each other. I mean, I have no idea. I'm a woman. But, yeah, we get labeled because I've been, you know, labeled like that. But I totally agree. If you see something, if your name is on something and you know it's not a good product, and if you don't say it, because you're still going to get, you can't win. You cannot win.
Yeah.
You can't win. So you might as well try to make it better.
Yeah.
Well, we do have another move, so we have one more minute. So what else? In conclusion, what I have to say about Mr. Skeffington?
Oh, well, be prepared for a blockbuster ending. And I have to tell you, you know, in a time where you don't have car chases and explosions and all kinds, this movie is powerful stuff. And I guarantee you, you will never forget this movie. This is one of these movies that will just stay, some movies stay with you. This one will. It will stay with you. And I have to admit, I mean, I've seen maybe half a dozen Betty Davis movies. There's still so many more I would love to see. But this is really one of my favorites because it is just
it's
so
it's a, it, so
I, well, I